Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hanna baby. Introducing a new collection, Hanna Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hanna quality for your most precious gift. Hanna Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannaanderson.com. Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hanna baby. Introducing a new collection, Hanna Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hanna quality for your most precious gift. Hanna Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannaanderson.com.
What's going on, No Bad Dog Army? Welcome back to the award-winning, top-charting No Bad Dogs podcast with your host, Tom Davis. You guys, this is a fantastic podcast with a retired canine dog working on some fine-tuning and setting the dog up for success. What should the owners allow, not allow? Should the dog be avoiding these situations? Should we hit it head-on? Just problem-solving on a couple, I think, important things you guys are going to pull some information on. I hope you guys enjoy it. And before we get into the podcast, I want to let you guys know, if you don't know, I'm doing a seminar with Forrest Mickey at the end of May. The link is in the description below. We have one working spot left. The working spot is where you come and you bring your actual dog, and Forrest and I work on your dog with you for the entire weekend. It is going to 100% sell out for working spots. There's one left. It is Monday right now. It is March 28th. There's one left. If you guys want it, I'd go get it right now. Link in the description below. There is unlimited audit spots, so don't worry if you're listening to this today or in the future. You can always come and watch. We have enough space to pack a couple hundred people in there if we need to. And as always, you guys, I'm going to be answering your specific dog training questions at the end of the podcast. If you guys want me to answer your specific dog training questions, all you guys have to do is head over to the iTunes review chart, leave a review, and in that review, you can also ask me a question. It's about the only way you can interact with me on the podcast. Anyway, listen to the end. I'll be answering great other dog training questions, and let's get into it.
So we've got a beautiful, well-trained German Shepherd who was originally trained for law enforcement, and he is about to be four. He's been with us now non-law enforcement for 3 years.
Okay.
And 90% of his commands are in German, so before we get going, there's that. But recently we've had a few issues, and I know most of it is our issue, and we just have to figure out how to make it work for all of us. Is we've had a few issues with, well, let's put it this way. We had a couple really bad experiences with dogs.
Other dogs.
Other dogs who were unleashed, who came into his space. During one of them, he was on a leash with me. We were walking in the neighborhood. He was fine. And when the dog came at him the second time, my hand broke. So he became super protective from that point on. And then we had a couple other situations where he was off leash with us on an e-collar and a dog came into his space.
Okay.
And so super protective, because obviously he is trained to protect his area, so to speak. So we had a problem with that. So now we have some dog reactivity at any point, whether we're off leash, whether we are on an e-collar, whether we are on a leash. So that's a main issue.
Okay.
And I'm just going to, there's like three or four things, and then we'll discuss each thing. A lot of them I know are related. His recall recently has not been 100%. I know dogs aren't 100% anyways, but his was pretty darn close. So his recall has gone down to what I feel is like 80%. We had a squirrel incident. So we do live next to the woods, and he is on the collar a lot out in the woods, and he's super coming back. I did have to zap him once when he was more than half a mile away on a deer. But the most recent incident was a squirrel when we were almost back to the house. and he flew across the entire yard out into the street after a squirrel and didn't even react to the e-collar at all. And then what's the last thing? This might seem petty, but it's an issue when barking at other dogs, when the dogs around us are barking and you tell him to stop and he doesn't quite know when enough is enough. Like, he'll bark if someone comes in our yard. We thank him. Super. Thanks for letting me know. Recently, he's will not stop. Once you thank him, he would be like, okay, great. I've done my job and we're good. But now he's like constant barking when that other dog starts barking. So, and then I guess this is where it all comes to. When we put the e-collar on him and we use the e-collar, we went back and forth between e-collar, dog tag, we settled on the e-collar. When we go to put him on that e-collar, he is super excited and almost so amped up, it's difficult to get it on him. It's like he knows I'm going to work or I'm going for a hike when that goes on. So maybe some suggestions on how to make that easier, make that happen. So I don't know. Is that a lot? Is that any of that related?
No, it's not a lot. So e-collar excitement too, I'll just say. So yeah, a couple of things. So let's get into it. I would say the dog reactivity thing, you say he's 4 years old now.
Yeah, he'll be four in May. Yeah.
Okay.
Not fixed.
Yeah, he's unneutered. Yeah.
Okay.
He's not going to be neutered.
Yep. So that is something recent after he had a bad altercation with another dog, correct?
A couple negative altercations.
Okay.
They happen pretty close by with each other. Yes.
Yeah. So in my experience, like once a dog kind of hits that threshold, sometimes it's age, sometimes it's maturity, sometimes it's bad experiences, sometimes it's genetics. They typically don't, I don't want to say come back, but they don't go back to where they were, where they're like, oh, you know, maybe he didn't care about dogs ever. And now all of a sudden he does. You're probably not going to go back to exactly where you were in a very black and white type thing of like, oh, he's right back where he was. So I think, which is, like I said, which is pretty normal. So what I would do is just focus on working on the leash reactivity with the training that you have. So when you talk about dog reactivity, when you're out with him, what's the big problem? Like just he's barking at every dog?
No, not barking. No. He tries to go towards it. He pulls towards the dog.
Okay. Yeah. So that's more obedience. So that's
and
where
his hair gets, his hair raises up on the back of his neck and he's, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
So we do with two, it also depends on who's walking him. I have a little bit better control of them sometimes when, you know, the pinch collar and stuff. But ultimately what we have been doing is if it gets really bad, we give him a tug or a ball and then he pretty much pays attention to us and doesn't pay attention to the dog. But he can still tell he's around, you know, he's still kind of amped up over the whole situation.
Sure. So when you're out and you see other dogs, he just gets suspicious and wants to go towards them?
Yes.
Yep. Okay. So that's where your handling will come in. So that's where your obedience comes in. So you're going to counter that type of behavior with your obedience, which would be your heel or your foos command, just making sure that you're that's it. That's easy. If your dog is pulling you and it's not like a behavioral problem, he's just like, hey, I want to go check this out. That's just where your basic obedience comes in to say, hey, you now take into consideration, obviously his drive for the item. So the ball or the tug, use that to your advantage to where if you did a little bit of obedience and maybe paid him and he had the tug or ball in his mouth as he's passing these other dogs or he's around these other dogs. Obviously if you're saying, hey, that's the golden ticket, use it. So put that tug, because that's how he was developed anyway, is to work and then get paid and or because they're not just in general, like working dogs typically aren't raised to be social. They're raised to work. Right. So when he goes out and he sees another dog and he's like, hey, I'm interested. I want to go see what this is, especially if he's intact and it's a female or another male, you're going to have all of that going on.
Yeah. Right.
So that's just basic obedience to make sure he doesn't get to that position.
Okay.
Is it all right to have him carry the tug then throughout or sometimes the walk and just let him, because he does do much better when he's just walking down the street and he's got his tug in his mouth. He at times could care less. you know, and so he just carries it along and we just go.
Yeah. The only the answer is yes. The only disadvantage to that is, so if you come out and you say, hey, you know, he really just likes his ball and his tug. He just kind of keeps to himself. He likes working. He likes something to do. So sometimes that'll be like a self-soothing type thing where you're like, hey, hold this for me, right? And he grabs the ball and he just walks around. He doesn't. So if you go out and you put a ball in that dog's mouth and he just doesn't care about the world, and alternatively he does and he's kind of strong and he's pulling and he wants to go interact because he needs a job. He needs something else to do. But if you put a ball in his mouth and he doesn't do any of that, it's a no-brainer. Yeah. But the only disadvantage is, in the future, if it becomes less valuable to him because you've given it to him for the whole walk all the time, that's the only thing you got to really watch for, is making sure you don't run into those problems.
Yeah, but I think that's what I'm concerned about, is that it doesn't become as great a payment as it has been in the past.
So I would just, I would ask for a little bit of obedience, pay him, let him have it for a little bit, do a little tug with him, tell him to put it back in your pocket and keep going. And then... Okay. Because you want to keep it on you. You want to keep the game on you. So that's a simple that's a simple thing. That's a simple strategy, to just go out and kind of use it intermittently as you're out. Like if you see, I wouldn't do it every time you saw a dog, because obviously that would condition him that when you play tug, there's other dogs around. I would just randomly take it out and say, do a sit down and then a bang and then just pay him. Yeah, cool. Play tug with him a little bit. Let him hang on to it for a minute. Literally out him, put it in your pocket, keep going. And just kind of do that. And then that way, when you get into situations where you see other dogs, especially if it's out of your control, right? Because the other part of having a really well-trained dog is just managing society. So, you know, you're going to get into a situation like, all right, hang on to this for a little bit, because, you know, we got two or three Malteses up here on harnesses and flexi leashes. This is going to be interesting. So, hey, you know, chew on this instead, type thing. So,
And that has happened. There's one particular dog in the neighborhood where we try and stay in the woods because that's his place. But when the weather's bad and it's icy, and just being on the road for time, there isn't a dog, and the lady just doesn't understand that the dog can just run out into the middle of the road, and she's like, he's okay, he's okay. And it's like, no, he is not. It's causing a disturbance here, and she just doesn't get it. And it's like, you know, keep your dog. And that's probably the biggest frustration, obviously, that everybody faces is the uncontrolled dog, that you're trying to do the right thing and he's doing the right thing, and then all of a sudden this dog comes into his space, and, you know, next thing you know, he's like totally amped.
Yep, exactly. So, again, like, I would just use that as your reward system throughout your training or throughout your walk, and use it when you need it, especially if you're just dealing with pulling and like, but even if you left that thing at home, your healing should counter that anyway, because that's that's just what life's about, like wanting something, wanting to go do something that we want to do, but we have to be held accountable. There's consequences. He's like, ooh, dog, I gotta go. You're like, no, you gotta heal. So I just say, like, you can kind of bounce off those two.
Okay.
You know, play with those two a little bit.
Okay. So that I'm sorry. Well,
There is one thing that brings up, and he acts totally different with me and Danny, is the else. When I'm trying to, there are particular items, especially like his frisbee
and his ball,
that he'll almost every time do it for her. But with me, it's like maybe 50% of the time. And it's, and I, he looks at me like, this is, I'm going to keep this and F you. Mm-hmm. And that's been super frustrating, and it's gotten worse. It hasn't been getting better. With just him. I mean, just me.
you and him.
Yeah, I changed your pronoun for you.
Yeah, I got it.
And that's been kind of frustrating in that fact, because I know he knows what it is, and if I put the e-collar on him, and I, you know, and there's times when I have to give him a zap or two, he'll then listen. But it's just, I don't feel... I didn't have to do that all the time. Now it's become like it's his toy, and he's not going to eat it just with me, you know, like a possessive F you type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, and that's going to be common, you know, just like with parenting in general, right? That making sure that one handler is being consistent with the other handler. Because if one person spends more time doing a certain thing, obviously it's going to be better for that person. So yeah. here's the thing is, if you have one handler that's able to do something better or more consistently than the other, obviously there's either a different relationship or there's better training into somebody or both. So good cop, bad cop type thing. And I see that every day working with, you know, dozens and dozens of people all the time with dogs. Yep. I'm like, this person's caring, you know, doing this and this person's not, and so on and so forth. So I think it's important for you to say, hey, if he's doing it for somebody else and he's not doing it for me, what's the problem? And that's something that you guys will have to work out externally, because that'll take a couple days to figure out, okay, well, how are you doing this? Why are you doing this? What's your exercise routine? What's your consistency? How are you saying out versus not, you know, or whatever. So that just kind of tells me that if you have one person that is developing better skill sets with the dog than the other person, then obviously there's something going on between that handling. So it's like with me, right? Somebody brings me a dog and they're like, oh my God, you know, my dog's this thing, crazy, whatever. And I just take the leash and I'm like, ah, not really. Right. It's like, oh my God, it's magic. No. My skill set and my relationship. Right. So some of it is skill set for sure. Right. Timing, leash pressure, body language, whatever, for sure. Experience, you can't take that away. But the other thing is my relationship. This dog's never taken advantage of me. Mm-hmm. Every time I've told this dog to do something, I've held them accountable, right? So my relationship is different. I've kind of become the strict uncle at that point, right? So that's just something to consider as moving forward. Is there's a lot of moving parts with why one dog will do something different. So for an example, if we have a Frisbee and he brings back the Frisbee, and I take the Frisbee and I hold it and I kill it and it's got no give to it, and I say, ouse, and boop, yes, boom, and I pay him, right? Somebody then goes, oh, okay, that's how you do it. The dog comes up, gets the Frisbee, person goes, ouse, ouse, and they pull, and they pull, and they pull, ouse, ouse, and they're pulling, and they're pulling, and the dog yanks back, and chubs back, and chubs back. Ruff, ruff. You know, you can just see the head kind of going backwards. Yes. You're like, what the hell is the... No, you're doing it completely different, 100% differently. You don't hold and pull back, because they're going to pull back harder, and they're stronger. Right. And you're not saying it multiple times, because you're telling the dog, please, 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 please. Right. You grab
What I have been doing is I'll have him come to my side now and sit in a foose right next to me with the Frisbee in his mouth, and I'll go to grab it, and before I even touch it, he pulls it away. So
are
I
you
just
giving him the ouse.
Though? Yeah, I give him the ouse, and he just put. As soon as I put my hand on it, he pulls it away. So I kind of realize that I don't want to play tug of war with him. This isn't a tug toy.
Right.
And he just. He pulls it away, and he'll still be sitting there. I'll reach for it again. I won't say else, but I'll just go in. And this goes on two or three times, and then finally I just stand there and stop asking him or whatever. And he comes out of his position, runs around, and then comes right back to me. So he knows, you know, but it's almost like a dominance type of thing. That's the one thing that he has control over me.
Yeah,
because we can be standing side by side, and she says it, and he drops it immediately.
Yeah, I think I think it's probably just like, you know, how you. I don't think it's a dominance thing. I think it's an opportunistic thing. I don't think he's like, hey, I'm bigger, better, stronger than you. You're not going to tell me what to do. He's just probably like, hey, you're not, I see a lot of frustration happen in handlers too, and that's like a huge. Yeah. Dogs will play with you like that. They're like, starting to fire you up a little bit.
I've learned to walk away.
Yeah, yeah. So
the fifth time, I'm like, I'm done.
Yep. Yeah, so, no, it makes sense. And like I said before, listen, you don't need me to tell you how to do it right or wrong, because there's somebody standing right next to you that's doing it perfect, it sounds like. So what I would do is really just say, hey, let's work on this. Why don't you... Okay, bring back the Frisbee, and then one of you do it and say, okay, now let's compare. Okay, you do good with this. Now let's compare it to, okay, let me try. And then if the other person doesn't do good, you're like, okay, what am I? And you guys kind of help each other out with that, because, you know, one of you is being successful and one of you isn't. And you just need to figure out why. And if you just spend 20 minutes outside kind of comparing them A to B testing, you'll probably isolate exactly what it is. It could be tone of voice. It could be repeating. It could be tugging back. It could be your, everything from, I've done this with just your body language, just with recall, right? We're standing straight up like a board and we say, come. And the dog's like, oh. And then I lean down with my shoulders and I kind of say, come on, buddy, let's go. And the dog zooms to me. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, yeah. We said the same thing, but in dog language, we certainly did not.
Right.
Yep. So, all right.
Okay.
So I would just be efficient with your time and just say, hey, you're doing it. I want to do it like you. How are you doing it? So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Recall.
So that brings the recall. And some of that, it brings up there's a second question that goes with this because we do use the e-collar if there's an issue and he doesn't respond immediately. Such as he's on a squirrel, he's on a deer, he's on a coyote. He had a coyote experience last week.
That went very positive.
Yeah, which it was positive. Yeah.
You know, when we talk about dogs and dog reactivity, him and I are out in the woods bushwhacking and we come across his coyote, which we, it is what it is. And we were probably 40 yards from it, and he immediately saw it. We saw each other, all of us saw each other, and just by, he was about ready to go, and I said, hey, and he immediately stopped. The coyote stood there again, and then he took a step forward, and I just hit the tone, and he immediately stopped, and then the coyote went on its way. You know, so it was one of these things where it was absolutely perfect, no issues at all. Which, you know, but then there's been a case where if it's one or two times with a deer, once with me and once with her, it didn't matter if you hit the tone. It didn't matter if you hit the jolt. He was off and running.
Yeah.
And so before we go on that, I know I keep interrupting you, but with the e-collar, this is my concern with the recall. We have him trained with one tone to come. That's a here. For him, directly up to us, nose right to the chest, sit in a seat. So that's like a combination, but it's his here. He's right up to here. And then two tones, he's trained to do the mitten drin. So come around the right side through the leg so that he's in that mode that if we come across a rattlesnake, a coyote, he's with us because I'm also armed in the woods as well. You know, I want him out of harm's way. So he's trained to come on those two tones. And I don't want to introduce another.
Don't want it to be a negative.
I don't want it to be negative on the e-collar because he's got two positives on the e-collar just by toning. Like, hey, one little tone, come towards me, two tones, mitten drin, because there's a threat somewhere and I need you in between my legs. So that's that. Now what the recall, how do I make the recall happen where, yeah, we've now encountered a pack of coyotes or something or a rattlesnake and I need you back immediately. Without engaging.
Well, that's where you're I always have to ask the question is, you know, how good is the recall in general? So that's something that you guys can audit because I talk to people all the time that I'm like, hey, my dog's not coming back. And I'm like, well, how much time have you spent on recall? They're like, well, that's what I'm saying. They're not coming back. I'm like, so anyway, it sounds to me like you guys have a good, you know, a good recall in general. So I would just say if your dog understands the behavior and understands it well, especially being a mature, well-trained dog, and you're using the e-collar for safety, then take advantage of the stimulation and the boost setting on your collar that if you say here and he doesn't, then you would use the stim to correct him if he doesn't listen. Now, I don't use tone. It's just a preference. Just like I don't use a clicker. I just use my voice. I just replace any audible with my voice. I want the dog to listen to me. So that's my thing is I just say here or come. And then, or in my case, I just say left and my dog finds my left leg. And if for some reason my dog didn't, because there was a snake or a coyote, then I would use my boost on my e-collar and I would get the dog back. That's it.
Okay.
So it wouldn't be a negative.
Should we? Because sometimes I feel that maybe he's because like I'll let him in the yard with no collar on and he's really good. Should we change that to if he's outside, he has the collar on so that casually, if all of a sudden he sees a squirrel and if he doesn't have the collar on, I don't have any way to, you know, correct him. And he dips off. And now that first time he's like, well, it worked last time and I was able to go after the squirrel. Should we be using the collar on a more regular basis for longer periods of time?
Because right now it's working and hiking.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you got to ask yourself, is the e-collar is a new language. It's a language in general.
Okay.
So, I mean, that kind of answers that question, right? Where it's like, hey, you know, when I want to learn German when I go over to Germany. It's like, well, you're only over there for like 7 days. You should probably start before you get over there. That way, when you're there and you need it, you got it. So I guess my answer is definitely use it all the time, because the more you use that language, the more fluent you speak it, the better it's going to be. The more you practice and practice and practice and just use it for basic stuff, it's conditioning, 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 okay. Right? Like, so don't say, well, the month of November, I want to get into the best shape of my life. And then every other month, screw it. Like, I don't really care. Because then when November comes, you have to go all the way back up that hill. But if you stay in condition, and you stay in shape, if you will, you're right there. You're ready to go. And that just leads me to my next point of going back to the tone versus audible is, if you're predicating your obedience and or your recall behavior off of an audio or off of an audible tone, and or you're using that as a warning to tell the dog if they don't listen to the tone, the next step is the correction, and your e-collar isn't on, then your voice is secondary or non-existent. They don't care. What's that mean? Because the tone is what they respond to, not your voice. And that's the other reason
when we verbally say it, and once again, probably 80 to 90% of the time, he'll come back. But like when you say here or mitten drin, he just perked up.
He's like,
he'll come back. So he does. But I get what you're saying. That if we constantly use the tone, then that's going to change that whole thing. But
that's just what he's going to be. Yeah, that's. I mean, when you have, you got to think of like how you guys know when you saw that coyote. I mean, things happen fast.
Right. Exactly.
So you know, and that's the difference between like going back to the deer question. Mm-hmm. Is you got to be prepared, especially if you're outside and you're ready to go. That's why like the dog tris that I use, I can put right on my belt clip and it just stays there and it's locked and loaded. Yep. It's ready to go. Boop, boop, boop. I'm ready. There's no, holy shit, let me grab my e-collar out or let me find it in my pocket. It's right on my belt clip. It's already preset. So if my dog, so that's the thing is if you're out like with the Dogtra Tom Davis 280C, you have that boost and it's just a button. So my boost is already set as an emergency just in case I'm walking with my dog and two bushy-tailed whitetails jump up and start running away 10 feet from my dog. And she's like, hell yeah. Her heart and her adrenaline is pumping out of her chest. She doesn't even hear me. I've seen dogs impale steel rhubarb through their chest and not feel it because they're chasing stuff. They don't, not only can they not feel things, but sometimes they can't hear things depending on the breed you got. In this case, it was a beagle, so it makes sense, right? But my point is you just want to make sure that you're prepared, because if you're out and you got your oh crap button on because your dog is conditioned, your dog listens, like you said, 8 to 9 times out of 10, you're really only touching that remote collar just in case you see that rattlesnake or that coyote So that way, if you say here, you're immediately putting your hand down and you're hitting that boost to snap the dog out of what they're doing. And you're derailing that, you're overpowering the prey drive.
Right.
Okay.
And that's
hitting
exactly
it early.
That.
Yeah. Because that's, I mean, the reality is I think more dogs get killed and or just you never see them again off of those 4 seconds you have before that dog chases that deer through the woods. And then before you know it, it's in the water 2 miles down that way. And you just never see it again. I can't go on Facebook for about 10 minutes and see how many missing dogs there are. Cause people are letting their dogs off leash. But that's what I mean is it happens so fast.
Right.
And if you're not using, and there's some people who just don't use the remote collar and it's like, I love my dogs too much not to have that piece of technology on them just in case. Cause I tell you right now, when I'm training my dog in a facility or in a field, I don't have Bambi. Hey, come on over here. Bring all your friends, bring your herd of doe over here and let's practice. Like I don't have that. So if shit does happen and my dog jets off. So my point is to you guys is just make sure that you on your remote, I'm not 100% exactly what remote you have and what you're using, but a lot of those e-collars have the boost. And so you want to,
we do have that.
Yeah. So
we
just
have one tone and then we can set it up another 5 points or whatever it is.
So that's what I would do.
Okay.
Just as an emergency. But again, even better than that, is be working on the recall at least a couple times a day, just to, again, stay in that, stay in that condition. Like I'm here, you know, I'm running a couple miles a day every day just to stay here. I'm just right here. I'm not, you know, regressing.
I think we'll start using it all the time, because even like the other morning, I took him out to go to the bathroom first thing in the morning. And like I said, 90% of the time it's fine. And then the other morning he was like, he looked at me. I said, no, because he knows the property line. And he looked at me. I said, no. And he just like looked at me and turned around and continued on his way. And then I got to him and I was like, corrected him and said no, and brought him back over to the property line and let him go on its way. So, all right, we'll start using it on a more regular basis and go with that.
Yeah, I would definitely do that. And that just kind of, that goes to one of the things that you guys were talking about the e-collar excitement too, is if you are only putting it on when you're about to go do something super cool, you know, and that's, and to be fair though, like that's what it is for me and my dogs too, or like, Lakota anyway, when I'm, she knows like if that goes on, we're going to, cause in my neighborhood or even when I go to the facility, you know, I might not put it on, but when I'm out in places where I can't control the environment at all, then I'm definitely going to put it. So she knows, oh, we're going to go to the park or whatever. But I, you know, I expect her to sit politely and me be able to put it on or just, you know, wrangle her up really quick. But I would just, my point by saying that is the more you do it, the the less. So if you put it on and you're just going to let the dog out while you're getting the mail or whatever, it's going to become less of a, holy crap, we're going to the place.
Should we be using that in the house too for his barking?
You can. I mean, the realistically, if you're kind of using the e-collar on a full scale tilt on like across the board of the spectrum of, you know, how, I mean, yeah, that's kind of the goal of being able to wirelessly communicate with your dog, but you also just have to make sure it's fair that if you are going to use the remote collar for barking or whatever, that your dog knows the behavior you're reinforcing with the remote and it's fair. So,
and I would say it would be more verbal, like enough, and then have it, I would, in the house, I would have no, there would be no way I'd have it set at where we'd go outside in the woods.
Yes, yes.
But just turn it way down so he gets a little stem from it to say, okay, I got you now. You
yeah.
know, type the, and not use the tone, because we don't want to confuse the tone by alerting him and saying just one tone, because now he's going to come running to us, which is not necessarily what we want him to do. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and that's the that's kind of the beauty of using, again, like the e-collar is you got a good e-collar and you have full spectrum of how you can use it and apply it. And that's the beauty of it is you can you can condition inside very low all day long and he's not going to have a problem with it. But then if you, yeah, so your communication levels and your conditioning levels are going to change.
Phooey. There it is. Phooey. Good.
Good boy.
So I would just say you can use that e-collar, you know, throughout your training, throughout the house for sure. Just turn it down a little bit because obviously his distraction is going to be different.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right. Yeah. I don't remember. We got the know when enough is enough, the e-collar, the excitement. The my big thing was that the dog thing, the other dog, because I can't control the other dogs. And as much as he and I work on his recall with me and his obedience, the other, I mean, bottom line is we had a couple of really bad experiences. One, which he knows that I got hurt during. So he's become super protective during that. So that's my big thing.
Yeah. And like I said, I just think that that is going to be just your handling in general. You know, like that's what I'm saying is if you go out and you're a rock star on your obedience, like that's going to, that's going to control a lot of that. And that's going to make you more successful.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I guess that that's my, what do you have?
I mean, that's,
I mean, it's funny cause we're talking this morning and I said, I feel kind of funny asking for help because he is so well-trained and so good at 90% of his stuff that I guess that these are the breakthrough things that I don't want to become issues.
Yeah. So, I think it's important for you to totally. No, I understand. And it's good that you're doing it because there's people because you can make your quality of life and his quality of life better. So don't just because he's well trained and he's got a lot of training invested into him, and you're starting to see these things are happening. I think it's totally good for you to be able to let's fine tune these things up. But I think the huffing and puffing that you guys just heard, that I heard there. I mean, mm-hmm. like you said, like that's all. That's just hey, you guys hear that? And you go, hey, okay, we got it. Thank you.
And he stopped.
Yeah, right. And that's all normal. So that's a good. Yep. So I just think it's important for you guys to kind of go, definitely start conditioning the e-collar to give you that full scale. I think that's going to be helpful, because if he's already been trained on it, I mean, the hard part is done. He understands where it's coming from. He understands what it is. That's already done. So now what you got to do is you got to just maybe use it a little bit more. Use it in different scenarios to make things, tighter. And and with going back to him pulling towards other dogs, that's an easy counter with just work, maybe going back to the basics, working on your foos, doing some directional changes, getting him focused on you, making him work for a ball or a tug. And of course, if you see those out of control dogs, avoid them at all costs, because no matter how well trained you're, that's what I do. I jump ship. I'm like, I'm out of here.
Yeah, I do that. So you don't. I'm going. I'm like, well, I'm out.
But the unfortunate thing is, in a couple of years, we're going to be moving to an area where there is no dog leash law. And so we were down there visiting, and all these dogs are just wandering around the neighborhood with their owners. And I mean, okay, that's fine that you think you have that much control over your dog. But the worst thing for us would be for that dog to come, barking over at us and thinking that Zach wants to play with him when he doesn't want to have anything to do with him. And I've watched your videos before.
Yeah, he is not a social dog.
He's like, no.
He's social with us and people, but other dogs, he, mm-mm.
Yeah.
Nope.
And it all depends. There are some dogs who, he has a German Shepherd friend that's a male, and they get along absolutely perfect. They fun, swim, and everything like that. And that's probably the frustrating part is, and you deal with it all the time as far as just people not realizing, no, my dog doesn't want to be friends with your dog.
Please don't touch my dog.
Yeah. And that's and that's normal. Everyone kind of deals with that. I deal with that. You guys are going to deal with that. And that, I just kind of saying, just make sure you avoid those situations and make sure,
But in the same sense, as we're going along, reintroducing and having positive experiences with people and other dogs is the avenue to go and do that, obviously, right? Because the better, more experience he has, the better he's going to be.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So, absolutely. Okay. And you guys are in a good spot. So I think you just have to, kind of remind yourself, with the outing, going back to figure out, he's doing it successfully for somebody. So you just got to figure out, why that's happening. Right. And then getting back down to the basics of just making sure that when you're out there and you're working on this, that you really, just really audit things just think about it. That's what I do is I think and I watch and I examine. And of course, that's my job is I'm a teacher and I'm like, all right, this is a problem, a little bit different from last time, a little bit different handler. And you become an investigator of all right, how are we going to get in there and do this? And that's what you have to do is you have to just problem solve. And you guys already have the foundation, which is nice, because I talk to a lot of people who, I just got off the phone with somebody, their dog didn't know heel. And they were like, how do I get my dog to stop reacting? I'm like, you're not even the same. So anyway, that sounds good.
There is another behavior that he just started, which is interesting, in the fact that two people come in the house, Danny's mother and Danny's daughter, which he absolutely adores and likes both of them. It's not when they come in, but when they go to leave, he goes in between them and the door and barks and almost doesn't let them. He doesn't want them to leave, so he's hurting them to stay in the house, which has been for Danny's mother. She all weighs all of 80 pounds, about the same as he does, and it's just it startled her one time, and it's he's okay. So how can we kind of curb that behavior as far as him wanting to herd them? Because that's his nature of
No, totally. I think again, it's an intuitive thing, for a dog to do these types of behaviors, especially a German Shepherd. And I think what you have to do is really, use your obedience again to counter some of these things. Kid, grandma, somebody we don't know is coming over. You're gonna go to your place or your touch. You're gonna plots and you're gonna stay. And again, because he already has that background. I mean, you don't want to try to tell a fish not to swim. So it's like, hey, we have an 80 pound human being coming over. We want you to be as gentle as a goldfish. It's like, well,
right.
He's an 80 pound, big German shepherd. So that's going to be right. Unlikely. So how can we counter some of these potential risks and some of these potential sticky situations? Well, okay. What I'm going to do is, okay, just let me know when you're here. Okay, you're here. Great. Hey, go to your place, down, stay. Boom, done. Come on in. Don't worry about the dog. He's fine. He's just chilling over there. We'll put him outside, put him in a crate. So you always just have to, it's not a bad thing to avoid right. certain situations if it's going to be successful with zero return on investment alternatively. Okay. So, all right, you guys, you've reached the end of the podcast, and this comes from Christine J77, 5-star review. Thank you so much for that. So thank you so much for all the education. I've learned so much. I have a 2-year-old mixed rescue German Shepherd, I think, and a few months ago I switched the Herm prong for walking. She's a fearful girl and is doing great walking without dragging me now. It has also helped so much with her reactivity to other dogs, but when she doesn't want to continue walking in the direction, she puts her head down and lays down and will roll, etc. I've tried correcting her, making myself a clown with backpedaling. I've heeled in opposite directions, which gets her going. All right, I'm just going to stop and answer this right now. What you can do is get a long line. That's the best thing to do, is get a long line and start to really teach her to move forward with momentum. So that's what has worked. That's like the secret to that. If your dog is, and it's not necessarily about the prong as much as it is your dog just kind of being defiant and saying like, hey, I don't want to work anymore, flopping over, laying down, get that long line out 20, 15 to 30 foot, turn your back and start walking. And I don't guarantee anything, but I'm very confident that your dog will pop up and go forward with you. Now, if you're just using a regular leash, what I would do is, again, turn your back to the dog and just walk forward. What a lot of times happen is the dog will kind of throw a fit or a tantrum, flop down, roll over, and then they have all the advantage because you're sitting there and you're staring at them, you're talking to them, you're basically enabling them to act like a fool by talking to them and not giving them just directional momentumal pressure. Turn your back, walk forward, move forward. I would try this maybe on a flat collar or a slip collar first before you try it on a prong for obvious reasons. So hopefully that helps. All right, you guys, next question. Loving this by EPONA158. Awesome podcast, great resource for quality dog training advice. Thank you so much. I have a male German Shepherd River. Could you tell me how early I can start the remote collar training? All right. Well, I've answered this quite a bit a few times, many, many times. And that's okay. I would suggest listening to some other e-collar podcasts. We also have an e-collar course coming out in a couple months. So, but the answer is as soon as your dog is able to understand the behaviors layering over. Could be as early as 3 months or as late as a year and a half, depending on how good your obedience is. You do not want to introduce the e-collar for anything that your dog doesn't understand well. Hope that helps. Typical Aussie with window or fence alert, protective Aussie gal, 5-star review. Thank you so much. Great podcast. And I listened to a close to other dozen canine training podcasts. Your balance training techniques makes the most sense from my over 20 years of dog ownership. Balanced dog training sounds like I've been doing, even though I didn't know I had a name. All right, cool. Thank you so much. I have an almost 3-year-old Australian fixed female Australian Shepherd. She's an Aussie and a border prior. I don't know what that means. Anyway, she has been the best doggo and is doing well the last year and a half, participating in foundational agility at the same time. She knows her basic obedience. Our problem is when she's also doing basic obedience and jumping on visitors. Let me rewind. Our problem with her are also basic jumping on visitors and the biggest issue of fence window alert barking. I know this is part of the breed and had put up with it our previous dogs, which I don't want to do with this one. Indoors, I have successfully improving the place command, thanking her for putting herself in a place for longer and longer times before releasing and treating. I give her a thank you and a that'll do command before putting her to a place, waiting for some time to release and treating. But outdoors, it's a different situation. We have a fence that is right along the sidewalk for 20 feet, and she absolutely goes crazy and nuts when anyone dares walk by. 50% recalls with treats, but always grabs treats and returns to protecting her territory. So, looking for your advice on how to proceed, do you think a local balance trainer would help? Yeah, I think it would. I think the e-collars, you're going to work. The thing is basically what you're dealing with, protective Aussie girl, is your obedience isn't good enough to have the success that you're trying to do. You can't, which is hard, but you're not able to recall your dog off a major distraction, period. That's it. That's your problem. So, yes, I would suggest doing advanced obedience. The e-collar is obviously something I would recommend, considering that's going to be your only option off-leash accountability, unless you want to keep a long line on or in between. That's what I would do. So the answer is yes. All right, you guys, that's it for the questions. Make sure if you guys want me to answer your dog training questions, go over to the iTunes review chart and leave a review. Next week, we're getting into a bunch of other really great questions. I appreciate you guys, and I will talk to you on Wednesday. Bye.
Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hanna baby. Introducing a new collection, Hanna Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hanna quality for your most precious gift. Hanna Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannaanderson.com. Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hanna baby. Introducing a new collection, Hanna Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hanna quality for your most precious gift. Hanna Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannaanderson.com.